Herald and News.
Herald and News, your news now.
Herald and News.
Empowering the community.
Basin Views.
Herald and News, your news now. Klamath Falls, Oregon.
The Herald and News.
Podcast.
Empowering the community and serving the Klamath Basin. This is the Herald and News Basin Views Podcast. Greetings and welcome to Basin Views, a Herald and News podcast featuring interviews with local experts discussing issues important to the Klamath Basin. I'm Kurt Lidke with the Herald and News. This week we are joined by Nikki Sampson, Executive Director of the Klamath Lake Food Bank, the regional food bank helping to assure that nobody has to go hungry in Southern Oregon. Here to detail all the different ways the food bank provides meals to those in need, Nikki Sampson, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Well, first off, we're going to get into some of the different programs that the food bank is involved in, but let's get some background on what exactly is the Klamath Lake Food Bank.
We are a private nonprofit corporation funded by basically the private sector of Klamath and Lake and Northern Siskiyou County residents. And our role is to provide food to the communities where people may be going without. We partner with about 100 different programs to succeed in moving this year, which will be about 2 million pounds of food.
So your background, I know you've been in this role for a while. How did you get involved with the food bank?
I actually started with a local radio station. Before I moved here, I was a marketing manager for an electronics company. And when I moved here, I wanted to do something different. So I became the news director at a local radio station, and I was doing a morning show. But the highlight of my job was being able to get out into the community and make a difference by helping charities that do really great work. So I helped promote them and helped them with their fundraising events. And that seemed to be more of my niche 25, 26 years ago. And yes, I did start the food bank when I was 10. I just wanted to make that clear. Anyway, so that's kind of where it was born. The position had opened up. I had already worked with the food bank with a couple of events. And I just wanted to get out there and do more to be more of a public servant for the community and the needs that needed to be filled.
You and I are kind of kindred spirits in that we've kind of created our own jobs. You have the official title of executive director, but considering all the different entities that the food bank is involved with, I know that involves a lot of many different hats. So try to describe what exactly your job entails for me, please.
Well, let's just going back to the beginning, what being the executive director of the food bank meant is I was responsible for fundraising and grant writing, also the day-to-day administrative parts of the food bank, overseeing a very small staff. When I started in 97, we had a budget of about $50,000. We had 2.5 employees. We served about 12 organizations, and we distributed about 400,000 pounds of food. So I had some time to learn. This was a new position for me, and I think what made my job so much easier is passion is a wonderful thing. You have it with what you do, and passion helps you to improve things, move forward, build relationships, and it becomes more of an adventure, not a job. And so by being able to know the community through what I did prior to this job, a lot of good contacts, I was able to, you know, kind of improve the services thanks to the help of the community.
So 97 was when the food bank was started, or does its history go back further than that?
It goes back further than that. It goes back to July of 1984. It was actually kind of run through churches and food programs during the late 70s when the economy wasn't so great. Then we had a big change in logging in our general region, amongst other places around the state, but it really took its toll on our community because logging was a huge industry, made up a huge economic base. And when those breadwinners were losing those positions, whether you were working in the woods or you were driving the trucks, that affected families and being able to feed their families, and that's kind of where the food bank started. So it was very small and more church oriented. We still utilize a lot of churches, not only as pantries, but also for support. But that's how it basically started.
So how has it grown from that late 70s, early 80s,
early mode to the massive facility that you have now and all of the partnerships? How's it grown over time?
Well, you know, just a little bit of background. Klamath and Lake Counties, we're not rich communities, you know, and we have people that live at or below the poverty level, and that's always kind of been part of this community. And so back then, just before I took it over and when I began my position there, I wanted to find out what the community thought of the food bank. What did they know about it? Who did they think was being served in the community? And I found out a lot of different things. And one of them was people really didn't understand that you did have friends and neighbors that needed help. Not everybody's going to run out and tell you, hey, you know, I need help. The humility is alive and well at that time. And even today, but I found that there were lots of programs that did great work, you know, helping people get back into mainstream society, drug and alcohol programs, kids programs. There were all these wonderful programs that I knew we could support so that they would have more dollars available to do their great work. In a community our size, you really have to be a good steward of the and be efficient with the food and dollars that you have. So if we could help out more programs, that meant that they could do more great things in the community to improve the lives and maybe get people up and out of poverty. So that was kind of, you know, the reason that I wanted to improve the program by bringing on more programs that could use our help.
And now the facility that you have, I take it as a lot bigger than what you started with when you joined, right?
Oh, yes. We were actually on the airbase. We had the old, they were kind enough to lend us the old military food warehouse. We had a forklift from World War II. The mast was so big on it, you couldn't get it into the warehouse. So everything had to be hand-loaded and unloaded. So it was a challenge. And, you know, sometime around, I'm going to say it was 2001, I really wanted to secure a facility where the food bank could be off the base and have more access, people would have more access and organizations to be able to get product from us. So I began writing grants, and unfortunately a couple of things happened. We had the water crisis of 01, and that affected my abilities to be able to get those grants done more efficiently and quickly, because we needed to help people in the community who may not have been able to work through that summer. So that was that situation. And then we had September 11th, 2001. And when the threat levels began to rise amongst air bases across the country, we were basically told, you know, Nikki, we love you, but, you know, if this happens, if we have to go to the next threat level, then we're not going to be able to get you on the base. So long story short, I began working on those grants. I got a small grant to move off the base and have a facility for a year. And I worked on those grants. And then in October of 03, we moved into our new facility. So moving forward today, we partner with about 100 programs. We bring in, this year it'll be about 2.2 to 2.1 million pounds of food. And we have a budget of about $500,000, between $450,000 and $500,000.
It's a private nonprofit, but you're part of a larger hub of the Oregon Food Bank. Could you detail how exactly that functions?
Sure. It actually goes even higher than that. Feeding America is the national food reclamation nonprofit. So they access food from your big, huge corporations, your big food conglomerates, so on and so forth. Then that food is distributed to all 50 states. The amount of food that each state gets is based on employment levels, poverty levels, and population. So in our state, the Oregon Food Bank receives whatever portion of food that our state gets on a regular basis, I guess. That's the best way to put it. So, for example, out of Portland, we get some product that comes into Oregon Food Bank from Feeding America. Well, to be part of the Feeding America hub, you need to get support from your own community. So Oregon Food Bank goes out and solicits food donations from growers and ranchers and grocery stores, which there are a lot, you know, in the Portland area. And they put that together with the Feeding America food. And then that food is distributed to 21 food banks in the state, of which we're a part of. That's our affiliation. So we get our portion, which based again on employment levels, poverty, and population. So we get our percentage from them, and that food, basically the way it works is my operations assistant receives a list of product that's available. He picks what we're going to need in our area. Most of that food comes in without any kind of fee to it. We do pay a very small nominal share fee, basically to cover the cost of that semi-truck coming to Klamath once a week from Portland with the product that we ordered. So that food comes down here, and then we go out to our community and solicit to add to the product that we get from Oregon Food Bank. So it's kind of a combination of everything. And, you know, we are getting a lot of great fresh product now, which is actually making a difference in the amount of food boxes people have to access. And that's another conversation. But that's kind of how that works. And then at our level, we distribute that food that we've collected locally and that we've received from other places out to all those different programs that either create meals, hand out produce bags, or food boxes.
So it's partially based, at least the Oregon Food Bank percentage, on population and an area. And you're covering two counties that have kind of an interesting demographic in that Klamath and Lake both are two of the largest counties in the state in terms of square mileage, but some of the smallest in terms of population. Correct. And the communities that we have that you're here to serve are rather far apart. And just geographically speaking, you've got a lot of area to cover and a lot of open space in between. So how does that create new challenges as opposed to, say, a food bank based in like Portland or Eugene that can cover an area that's more centric?
Well, we cover an 18,000 square mile area, and that does include parts of northern Siskiyou County as well. We kind of take care of the border towns of Newell, Tule Lake, and Doris. Why do we do that? Because they kind of make up our economic base, and when they have things going on in their lives, they don't have a whole lot that's real close. You know, it's either Redding or Weed. So we try and provide help, and we also receive support there. So going, like you said, with regard to the amount of people, you know, you may have a town like Chiloquin of 750 people. You may have a town of Bly that may have 300 people. So in order for us to get product out to those different communities, we rely on those community volunteers to actually come into town and pick up an order for their community. Our role is to provide that food, but it's kind of the role of the different communities to gather up those individuals that can help take this product and move it.
Since the food bank is based in Klamath Falls, you're trying to serve areas that are pretty vast in terms of 18,000 square miles. The further away it gets, the harder it must be to serve places like Lakeview, Adel, Plush, Christmas Valley, Silver Lake, Chemult areas. How is coordinating volunteers done in those areas the further away you get from the food bank?
Well, again, the role of the community is to gather up those volunteers. So, for example, in Christmas Valley, they worked very hard to build their own little food pantry many, many years ago. So they've got a place. We provide stuff like refrigerators and freezers and equipment to make it easier for the volunteers to do what they do. So they have a group that comes over and picks up food here. And when they come over, they don't just get enough in some cases for a month. They'll get it for a couple, especially during the winter. We try and load them up with as much shelf-stable product as we can. And then they take it back to their community and they give it out in food boxes or food to other organizations that may be creating meals. So that's kind of how that works. And yes, it's sparse as far as people go, but we've made it work. We try and cover, you know, the areas as best we can and make it as easy as possible for them to come in and pick up that product and take it back.
Let's talk importance. You mentioned before demographic and a little bit on poverty and how that plays into things here. The importance of the food bank in a place like Klamath and Lake County that are certainly not among the wealthiest of counties in the state of Oregon.
Well, again, being in a rural area, diversification is an important thing. that's why we have grown it over the years to be able to help those littler nonprofits that are doing great work here. Being able to not have all the red tape if something needs to happen very quickly, like during the water crisis of 01. We were able to move very quickly to get things done. We didn't have a whole lot of red tape, and when people needed help, we had that support locally, but we also had the support of the Oregon Food Bank and others around the state. So that really helped. And that's still available. We're set up in the event of an emergency to be able to do things. We're also able to help cancer patients and hospice patients quickly if they need something. What about people that have never used a social service program or ever asked for benefits, government benefits? Something happens in their life and they have no idea how to navigate things. They've never had to ask, and that's kind of what we can help with too. If somebody has a fire, if your child is sick, we have programs that we can help you because of support that we get, little pockets of help that we get for different programs that we have. So that's one of the beauties of being in a small community. You can move very quickly. If I have an organization call me, let's just take for example hospice, and they've got a patient that is in desperate need, no family support or something like that. And this is actually what happened a few years ago, which made me build this program to where it's at. Needed stuff, didn't have toilet paper, simple needs. You shouldn't have to worry about that stuff when you're going through a life-altering situation. So we started a program that we now work with and have for over a decade with local hospice nurses and the Cancer Treatment Center to be able to help people who are going through these situations and be able to refer them and get other things. Maybe they need medical equipment. I've got lots of referral organizations I can refer people to get those things or get them myself. That's another thing. Being at the food bank for as long as I have a lot of great contacts. There's a lot of great people out there, and we help each other. You know, I can call somebody and say, here's what's going on. We get things done very quickly and vice versa. And that's one of the biggest, most wonderful beauties of a small community.
I could see how perception versus reality, there may be some certain stigmas with asking for a handout from time to time. Some people just don't want to do that, but everyone at some point in their life, or almost everyone, goes through a point where they need a helping hand. So how do people go about if they just lost their job, they're in between gigs, and they just need some food to survive for the week or so?
Well, the way that our program works is anyone in Klamath Lake or Northern Siskiyou County can go get food assistance once without any questions asked. You sign for it. Because those things happen. Your car breaks down. Maybe you're a single mom, your car broke down, now it's going to cost you $300 to fix. Well, if you can take the dollars you were going to use for food and put it towards fixing that car, then you can get food from us and the problem solved, you know, within 2 to 4 weeks, the gap of the problem. So that's one of the reasons we're set up that way if you just need help once. Now, if you're going to need ongoing help, let's say you're on a fixed income, you're a senior, someone with disabilities, you're going through cancer, maybe you're going through chemo right now, and you're going to be out of work for 2 or 3 months. We can provide you assistance basically up to 12 times a year. That doesn't mean one time a month. We set that system up so that for that person who may just be out of work for a couple of months, if they need to go get help every week, they can. And, you know, then we never see them again. But guess what happens? We see them in another respect, like donations or bringing the kids out to sort food, to show how to give back. And that, to me, is the most beautiful thing about my job. I get to see the kindness of people every day. And then I also see what happens when those people get help from those kind people and they come back and they want to pay it forward.
In terms of the importance of the food bank and the number of people that are being served here, can you give me a general idea of hunger statistics within Klamath and Lake County?
Sure. About 18,000 people rely on the food bank, whether it be for a meal like you would get at the Gospel Mission, because they're one of the programs that we support. You may have a child at a daycare center like the Kids Center. We support that program too. So there's different groups. Salvation Army is another group that receives food. So you may be getting bags of produce and may not use the food box program. You may be getting meals at the mission, but you're not getting food boxes. Or you might be getting all three because something's happened in your life and you need to access those programs. So as far as a difficulty, it's income eligibility based. We're set up to where, again, if you just need help once, just go get it. If you're going to need more of a long-term, assistance, come into our office and we have someone who will sit down with you and kind of go through, what's going on in your life. In case there's somewhere else, we might be able to refer you if something's happened. So that's one side of it. If you live in Bly or if you live in Lakeview, the system works a little bit different. You're still part of our big database, but it's just done more through phone calls and, working with the volunteers in those communities.
Collaborative organizations. I know there's a lot. Whether or not the food bank's name is officially attached to something or not, the food bank is involved in all kinds of different events and activities and programs. What are some of those collaborative organizations that are perhaps more heavily involved than others?
Well, let's take, for example, our Produce Connection. That's where we've got distribution sites all over Klamath and Lake Counties, working on the Lake County part. We're just getting started this year, but the goal was to be able to have sites everywhere. The collaborative efforts are organizations which are more, they want to see people eating more healthy. So do we. So we work with Sky Lakes Wellness Center. We work with Klamath Open Door and other clinics and locations where they're handing out this nice healthy food to people so that they have an opportunity to increase the amount of produce they have to eat. A lot of times we hear from people with chronic illnesses that say, my money just doesn't stretch far enough because produce, you need more of it in order to sustain yourself. So it costs you a little bit more money. So anyway, that's a collaborative. We also give out produce through our pantries, but that's one of our big programs. And we also provide food so that organizations can create meals. Like I said, the Mission, the Kids Center, the Senior Center in Lake County as well, they get product from us, which helps to keep their costs down. And they also get produce. So the collaborative efforts can be something as simple as, Nikki, I've got an event coming up where we want to teach people how to use the food that you're giving them. And can I get some extra so that we can, so we'll give incentives to get people to come to the classes. We'll also provide product for them to cook so that, like the Oregon OSU Extension Office, they do cooking classes. And so we provide product for that. Another example is groups, people with disabilities who might have a dance. And they're going to do a food drive for us, and we provide them some of those little goodies that we may not necessarily give out in a food box. We get all kinds of product. It could be candy, cookies, sodas. Well, we're not providing enough to really worry about, what the daily, I'm not feeding people, their whole entire food menu for the month. Mm-hmm. So we save those products for those kinds of events where that saves money so that they don't have to go out and spend money on those little treats that they're going to give out during that dance. And then they do a food drive. Like I said, it's wonderful. I love it.
Well, there's a demand year round for the food bank services, but we are coming up on summer season. School is getting out of session, but that doesn't mean that there isn't a demand. There's even perhaps more so because a lot of those low-income families depend on schools to feed their kids during the day. One of the programs that I know that the food bank is actively involved with is the summer lunch program, along with YMCA and Integral Youth Services. What is the food bank's role in that program?
We actually provide produce at the different sites. So kids can take that product home. We've gotten a little more involved. I'm a huge fan of the Park and Play program, and it's something that I remember when I was a kid many moons ago. But that part, and it was called Park and Rec where I came from. Just a little story to kind of touch what I'm going to talk about with regard to our involvement. Those programs, when I was a kid, didn't have the greatest, you know, family life. I relied on those programs to be able to learn sports and athletics and play games and learn crafts. And there was like always like a little shed where you could check out equipment during the summer. And the people that ran it were normally students doing some community service. So you'd go to the park and you'd check out the equipment, or they had skills that they taught you. So when IYS and the YMCA decided that they wanted to do more with that a few years back, it was like, wow, this is great. Because I would like to see the kids coming to the park mainly for maybe learning new skills or learning sports and that type of thing, and have the meal be second, you know? So my involvement kind of came with wanting to do more produce giveaway, but also helping them with making it more of a park and play with getting that shed and having equipment for the kids. And so that's my part of it this year, is working along with the KMSB Foundation to acquire a place where kids can check out equipment. And our pilot program will basically begin this year at Mills Kiwanis Park. So kids would, you know, have that opportunity along with other volunteers in the community that are going to provide their skills in STEM projects, you know, so that kids can learn different things while they're at the park. I'm also working on superheroes. I think one of the things that is really important are for kids to have mentors, and we have a wonderful mentor programs in this community, but I thought it would be kind of cool if we could, you know, kind of throw those superheroes in. So we're at the beginnings of this, and I'm hoping that it becomes something that's done at all the schools, and working with the students who need to receive their community service hours and be part of it. So right now I'm in the woo stage, you know. I really want to be able to do more with this, and it's such a wonderful program. So that is our involvement this year. We also put together a demo trailer, which we're going to take out to the different sites this summer. And we've got grills on it, and we're going to have people grilling vegetables, and we're going to be handing out grill baskets and teaching people how to take the vegetables and fruit that they get and grill it. It's a great way to eat your vegetables, and you throw in a good, healthy kind of sauce or dressing. And that's kind of our goal, is to, you know, more ways to, if you live in Klamath, it doesn't matter what time of the year it is, you barbecue.
Right. Well, one thing that you is particularly, but the food bank in general is very good at is almost saying guilt tripping people into donating without it making feel like it's a guilt trip. You know, it's part of being a nonprofit organization, in that you're not only needing funding, you're also needing supplies. And so there's always opportunities. It seems like every month or every other month you're having some kind of food drive or some kind of associated fundraiser. I know you're very active with the Postal Service collecting food. Tell me about some of the various food drives and fundraisers that the food bank coordinates.
Well, thank you, because I'm glad that you know about it. And when I go out and do presentations, that's one of the questions that I ask. How many of you are aware of the food bank? Many, many moons ago, there'd be like in a room of 50 people, two people who, you know, knew about it. So over the years, we've tried to increase the amount of volunteers and the amount of support, because I've always believed that there's no such thing as a small donation if everybody gives one. So we work with many different types of, many groups. The kids at school, most of the schools here in Klamath do food drives, you know, through the holidays, which is just wonderful. I mean, the amount of food I get from that drive alone, if I had to go buy that food at a store, it would run me $85,000. I don't have that kind of money. I mean, once you start having to purchase, your dollars go very quickly. So we rely on these food drives. The letter carrier food drive that just took place the day before Mother's Day, that food drive collected about 10,000 pounds of food to add to the other places that we bring in food. So we have many projects where people can, you know, let's say you're a Kiwanian and you meet every Wednesday. We have the Klamath Food Project, where we'll bring you out some bags. You have everybody take the bags home, bring them back the next week to your meeting. We'll come out and pick those bags up. So we're really trying to increase the amount of shelf-stable food because, and I'm glad you brought this up, because one of the things we've seen over the last few years is a change in the food industry. And that has affected the amount of shelf-stable foods that we get. And so we're trying to find new avenues to bring in that food. Now, you talked about summertime. We have our peanut butter and jelly project. There are about 800 kids in our 18,000 square mile service area that don't have access to summer lunches because mom and dad can't drive 30, 40, 50 miles just to get a lunch. So what we try and do through the peanut butter and jelly project is ask people to donate kid-friendly foods, and then those foods go into the food boxes that are given out in the places like Bly and Sprague River, so that families, mom or dad, can come in, pick up a food box that has more of those items that will create meals at home instead of having to go to a site.
Well, and I'm sure another avenue that you collect supplies too is direct donations from local farms. This is a very agriculture-rich area. Mm-hmm. And since you are trying to do more fresh produce, grown locally and distributed locally, I'm sure is a major avenue of that. So how important is it and how directly involved are you with some of the various farms around here?
We work with nearly every farmer in our community, in the basin. So that's potatoes, that's onions, but including the 1,000 or so local farmers, like home farmers, your backyard garden, that type of thing. We have about 1,000 people that grow 3 or 4 extra rows of product for us and bring it in. And that's about 30,000 pounds of fresh produce that we get throughout summer. And what's really great about that really fresh stuff that we can get locally, whether it be your own garden in the backyard or through, Wong's potato or whatever, that product is so fresh that it allows us to hold on to it so that programs that are, 2 hours away, when they come in, we can give that product to them and they can get it out to the people that need it in their communities. Because whatever organization may need a little help with something, if they call, we provide that. So if they've got something special coming up, like the Head Start programs, if they need something for a program that they've got going on, we work with a couple of the schools, the charter schools, where you may have some kids that don't have a lot to eat when they go home. So we provide food for maybe a little pantry, closet pantry, so that if a student comes to school and is hungry, there's something there for the kids. So it's kind of a little bit of everything. There are so many different programs. DAV, that's another one. We provide product for their breakfasts that they do for our disabled vets. Depending, I could go on and on with the list of the different programs. But that, again, is what we're here for. That's why when you support us, you're supporting so many different programs. Our facilities, another thing that I like to talk about, everything that the food bank has, you own it, I own it. Everything's paid for. If I had a building with a mortgage like the size of our warehouse and our office buildings, that space would cost me $130,000 a year. But through grants over the years, I've secured all of our fleet of vehicles, our buildings. So when you give to our program, the money's actually 94 cents of every dollar is going to the actual program. It's going to feed people, and it takes people like you and me and many others to remember that there's no such thing as that small donation. I have people that send $5 a month, $5, and in a little 4-section of their check, they'll put 45 pounds of food or 50 pounds of food because they know it takes very little to do so much. So when you send that dollar off, you're really, every dollar creates about 8 meals. I have people say, well, how come I can't shop there? In a joke, I don't shop at the food bank. How do you do it? Well, it's because we do have that support from the Oregon Food Bank, our local grocers that we pick up product from every day, perishable stuff. But shelf-stable for us is really is so important for those outlying areas during winter months. So that That's why we push all these little programs that we have, our little fundraisers we have going on, like I said earlier, all year long.
Well, and that gets into the fact that it is budget time. The end of June is coming up, which means end of fiscal year. And as a nonprofit organization, you have a budget that you need to try to balance. And just, you know, whether it's your home budget of paying monthly bills or a multi-million dollar organization, with any budget, you have the must pays, you have the need to pays, you have the things that you want, whether it's maybe expanding the facilities or a new truck or something. And then there's the things we'll maybe buy someday down the road when things allow. So how is the budgets coming together, and how do you prioritize the needs and wants for the food bank?
Well, one of the things many moons ago, I'm going to say more than a decade, about 1% of our total budget went to food purchase, very small amount. We had lots of great product coming in from food industries, the Oregon Food Bank, shelf-stable foods, non-perishable foods. Things have changed, so we don't see nearly the amount of shelf-stable food that we used to. What that's done is turned my budget, I'm not going to say upside down, but instead of spending, you know, 5% of my budget on food purchase, I'm going to be looking at 15 to 20% this year. So I'm going to need more support from the community to be able to do what we do. And that can leave a mark. You know, 15, 20% of $450,000, $500,000 is quite an increase. And, you know, the one thing to remember is if we don't get it in, then it affects all the other programs that rely on us. One thing about being the hub is that that's a big responsibility. So we absorb the cost to collect, store, and move food. Many food banks across the country charge what's called a little share fee. And it's not, you're not paying for the food, but what you're paying for is to move that food, to collect it, store it, and distribute it. And it may only be, it could be 2 cents a pound, up to 20, 30 cents a pound. Well, in our community, I'm just grateful to have the volunteers who give the food out. I don't want them to worry that they have to purchase food to give to their community. So we rely on the community to give us funds to absorb those costs. And that's really super duper important. And also looking at, again, having to do more purchasing wholesale or retail to keep up, you know, with the demand.
Tastes seem to have changed a lot in recent years. So you touched on it a little while ago. People these days are more conscious in terms of gluten-free or vegetarian or vegan diets. There's more food allergies out there that people are aware of. How has those changes in trends and tastes affected how the food bank operates?
Well, we do get a lot of good product that might be those kinds of products, but we're not a grocery store, and so we're not set up to be able to meet every need. So what we try and do, if you've got an allergy to something and I can't help you with that, guess what? The things you aren't allergic to, if that goes into a food box, it frees up your dollars to go buy those things that you might not be able to get in a food box. So that's kind of how it has to be viewed. We're going to try and provide you with product so that you don't go hungry. I can't necessarily work on making sure that everything's going to meet your needs. But again, if I can give you $50 worth of food in a food box that you can use, then it frees up your dollars to get those things that you may need. Now, the produce is a whole different kind of ball game. Like I said earlier, when people have access to 7-8 months out of the year, they have access to 5 to 20 pounds, maybe even more, 25 pounds of fresh produce. That really helps to fill that niche of the expense related to fresh produce. So they're not using the food box program as often. We've seen about a 20% decrease in the amount of people using the food box program because of that healthier food. You know, when I have somebody walk through the door and give me a hug and say, you know what, I have diabetes, and if it weren't for that produce program, I don't know what I'd do, because I never have enough to be able to meet the needs for my health.
How can people get involved? Because whether it's directly at the facility or donations or all of the various programs that are involved, it takes people to make all of this function.
Absolutely. We couldn't do this without our volunteers. You can't move. I have a staff of seven, and there's no way that a staff of seven could move 2.1 million pounds of food. We rely on 1,200 volunteers who give about 22,000 hours a year, a little more, a little less. That's what it takes to move the product. As far as volunteers, they can run anywhere from 5 years old to 100 years old. Our oldest volunteer in the time I've been at the food bank, 99. So, you know, if you want to help, there's always something you can do. Either it can be through helping us with the summer lunch program, maybe helping with the demo grill. If you have a license, a food handler's permit, and you want to help out with that, you can. If you want to sort food at the warehouse, if you want to help us put together our fundraising brochures and letters, there's so many ways to help, and you can go to klamathfoodbank.org where you can fill out a little application, and we'll put you to work, if not at our food bank, at one of the organizations that we support.
Short-term future and long-term future for the food bank. What are the plans going forward?
I think the plans going forward for let's look at the next 5 years. I'm hoping that we can get more businesses in here so that people can have more hours in their work week. That's a tough one. We have a lot of people who don't work full-time. And so that makes it tough to be able to pay their bills and feed their family. So I would like to see more businesses come in that can give people those full-time jobs. We're always going to have seniors and people with disabilities or people going through life-altering situations that are going to need our help. I'd love to go out of business for lack of need, but it's not going to happen. Could I go somewhere else, find another job? Absolutely. But my passion is here. I want to see people. I want to help people that can't help themselves for reasons beyond their control. And I want to help people get up and out of poverty by getting an education or helping those organizations that help you be a better person. You know, like Klamath Works, the kind of work that they do. Also through the Salvation Army, some of their programs. And there's just so many different wonderful programs that have to provide food or snacks. And again, when we can help them with that, it improves their program and it helps to improve the lives of people within our community. So we're not going to go out of business. It's just not going to happen. But I want to, in long term, I want us to do more, which affects those people that maybe have had a hard time getting back in to. I want everyone to, there's more to a job than a paycheck. And I want to be able to see more people out there working, more people out there wanting to volunteer. Volunteering does something for the soul. And so if you're out there doing well and you want to give back, or your kids, you want to teach them about volunteering, our volunteers are aging. You know, a lot of our volunteers are in their mid-60s, 70s, and 80s. And so getting the younger generation more involved is my more long-term goal, working with the schools to where kids who have to do senior projects or community service, we can utilize them at things like park and play, sorting food, doing food drives, that kind of thing.
Fantastic. Well, Nikki Sampson is the executive director of the Klamath Lake Food Bank, which serves about an 18,000 square mile area in Southern Oregon, making sure that nobody has to go hungry in Southern Oregon. Thank you so much, Nikki, for coming in today and educating all of us on all of the great things that the Klamath Lake Food Bank does.
It wouldn't happen without people like you. People want to help. They just have to know how, right? That makes it easy. If you can make it easy for them, they're there for you. So thank you for having me today. And anybody who wants any information, klamathfoodbank.org, stop by. I'll buy you a cup of coffee.